The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. And brought to you by Big Barker Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Body Bio. Mike from Body Bio, by the way, texted me yesterday and made an offer in regard to Mike and the island thing. He's offering something. I will bring it up when we talk later. Get 20% off any order at bodybio.com with promo code Mike's Tummy. Did I say Big Barker? I don't know. Big Barker Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. And Kinetic Skateboarding. Get 9.1% off your first order with promo code Dave Silver. On the show today, is deodorant a psyop? A listener asks, is CJ a false idol? A caller suggests, is James Harden recruiting an army of Chinese children? Another caller asks, will August ever end? Also, a happy birthday to James Harden, as well as who will age better, Giannis or Joel Embiid? If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. I haven't mentioned this in a while, but we would love for you to subscribe and turn on notifications. If we don't get to 12,000 subscribers by the time the season starts, CJ will be murdered. We haven't figured out how we're going to do it, but we'll need 12,000 to make sure it doesn't happen. So just hit that subscribe button. Kinetic Skateboarding, whoo boy. Now, I mentioned in the filter in that I love running in a long sleeve tee, even if it's hot outside. Kinetic Skateboarding has a fantastic selection of long sleeve tees. I haven't really been a long sleeve tee person until recently. Love me a long sleeve tee. Great for the fall, which is coming. So are hoodies, which Kinetic has. Sneakers you're not going to find anywhere else. And as winter closes in on us, they are also your snowboard headquarters. Go to kineticskateboarding.com and use code Dave Silver for 9.1% off your first order. And if you're listening on Saturday, today is the live Carl Landry Record Club at the Connor Barwin Make the World Better Foundation concert tailgate, which happens before the show. The show is Alex G and Always. Happening before the show is a tailgate to benefit the foundation. Tickets are available at the Make the World Better Foundation website. Also a link in this pod. I'll be there with Mutlu. We'll have Charlie Hall from War on Drugs there, as well as Amos Lee will be there. Connor Barwin will be on the pod as well. And I have a sneaky suspicion my father is going to stop by. He hasn't told me that, but he's always at these things. So that is today. You need separate tickets for the show and for the tailgate. And the tailgate comes with food and booze. Good food, good booze. Stateside will be there. So hope to see you there. Without any further ado, Amos and the chef. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who was voted least capable of surviving alone on a desert island of all of Team Ricky by the listeners. That is one, Mike Levin.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
My revenge. If I wasn't so sleepy, my revenge tour would be starting right now.
Oh, right, but today.
I'm unfortunately, too sleepy to start it.
There have been a lot of listeners who have weighed in via email, via tweet, via voicemail on the island controversy, some regarding CJ. We will get to that later, of course. I have a feeling this is something that will not go away for two reasons. One, due to the controversy. Two, due to the yearning everyone has for us to talk about literally anything but the Philadelphia 76ers.
Closing in on being able to look at the roster.
September, here it comes.
Couple days.
Here it comes. So there was a a story or a quote. I didn't even read the article. I'm going to be honest with you. I just saw the quote, but I don't think the quote was taken out of context or somebody would have said it by now. There was an article in the New York Times where there was a Giannis quote where, you know, there has been speculation about Giannis perhaps not re-signing in Milwaukee. And the quote was, "I would not be the best version of myself if I don't know that everybody's on the same page. Everybody's going for a championship. Everybody's going to sacrifice time away from their family like I do. And if I don't feel that, I'm not signing." So that happened. And then I got into a debate with a coworker at WFAN, Brandon Tierney, who is a huge Knicks fan, who said that he would not trade the following for Joel Embiid as a Knicks fan: Julius Randle, Mitchell Robinson, and Quentin Grimes, along with 6 first rounders. They're not all theirs. 3 of them are in 2024, so on and so forth. And I essentially called him blind and foolish for not doing so. And his reaction was that he is not confident in Embiid's ability to stay healthy and as he gets older, so on and so forth. And I began to think about Embiid versus Giannis. And I think, and perhaps this is me being a homer, and I think it might depend on some level, maybe the urgency of a team to have a championship, but I think I might say that Joel Embiid, assuming he decides to continue to play, that Joel Embiid will age better than Giannis. And I have more confidence in Embiid's, say, 32 to 35 years than I do Giannis's. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not unreasonable. Embiid has a much better jump shot. His game is not predicated on athleticism and force. He's a more sturdy and stable defensive player. Giannis doesn't like protect the rim in the way Giannis is like, you know, play safety back there and uses his, not like his length is going to go away or anything, but Embiid at, you know, 70% athleticism is a better player than Giannis at 70% athleticism. So I think that's pretty clearly true in that sense, but Giannis's motor, Giannis's engine.
Yep.
Seemingly just, you know, playing with more desire on the court.
Yep.
And the fact that he's won a championship before, tip it to Giannis in some way, but I think at least as far as like stylistically how players age, Embiid is already there in that and in how he should play to protect his body.
So let's say, and I think the other thing that I think doesn't really get talked about that often is over the last 3 seasons, maybe 4 seasons, Giannis has had a significant number of injury issues, knee issues, back issues this past year. Clearly Embiid has, you know, has had his issues as well. Let's say this year plays out, you know, Embiid has a normal Embiid year. Giannis has a normal Giannis year. Neither team wins the championship. And it is the summer of next season. And again, like this is another team. I'm just curious your thought. So everything plays out as normal, just a normal season. No material difference in what we see out of Embiid, though we don't see what we saw last year. We don't see like a complete, you know, breakdown, but we also don't see him evolve into some playoff monster. It's next summer, and you are a team in the position, a similar position as the New York Knicks. Would you trade for Giannis or would you trade for Embiid? Same package.
Probably Embiid. Probably Embiid. But if they're thinking, I don't know they're both very good players. They're both MVP candidates. I don't know. Giannis is probably more, you know, Giannis is more charismatic, but Embiid's probably more gardenish as far as putting on a show and feeling the spotlight and becoming the guy. But I don't think either. I don't think the Knicks are getting either of them.
No, I know. Thought experiment. I'm not talking about reality. I'm just talking about.
I would have to, you know, they're both very good, and I would have to consider like what the lineup is. And so, if you're thinking like it's Jalen Brunson and a bunch of guys that can like 3-and-D types.
Let's say it's that exact trade. It's that exact trade. So they lose Grimes, they lose Mitchell Robinson, they lose who is it, Randall, but it's everybody else who's on the Knicks is on the Knicks. That's who the team is. You know, Josh Hart, it's Brunson, it's, you know, RJ Barrett, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, the Villanova Knicks.
Yes. If you were the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an RJ Barrett guy, but if they consider RJ Barrett part of their future, then I would say, although he's hitting shots this summer, I don't know, it just makes more sense to get a guy who, as he ages, can shoot. And Giannis isn't going to be that guy. He's just not. He doesn't have touch from the outside like that. So I would say Embiid's probably a better fit there, but Giannis has won a championship and, you know.
The chat is demanding you choose.
I don't want to choose.
You have to choose, though. Like, that's the, you if choose. I'm asking you. Well, I think it is close. I would pick Giannis, though I think the idea that I'm more comfortable with Giannis's aging and his future and injuries and blah, 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 that I actually think is the wrong reason. Yeah, I would
Giannis
pick Giannis
in the playoffs.
Is a
reason to pick Giannis. But correct. If you're projecting forward, not this year, but the future years, like Embiid just, he's gonna age better if he wants to.
Yeah. So I think Giannis could, I actually think like Giannis could fall off relatively quickly, you know?
He could become big Westbrook pretty quick. It's not a take that I'm ready to get to.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying there's like an outcome where in 3-4 years, Giannis is big Westbrook.
So who would you trade for?
Depends on what you want. If you want to win right now, let's say if they're making all those trades, they want to do it to win right now, and Giannis is probably a better player right now and certainly a better playoff performer right now.
Okay. So you're Leon Rose and but the Sixers have made you the offer and the Bucks have made you the offer and you have to push the button on one of them.
I would push the Giannis button hard now and the Embiid button more, probably longer later.
So next summer, which button would you push?
I'd probably go Giannis because he's down in class.
All right.
But I also don't like the book on Embiid that he's like, he's injured all the time. He's going to keep being injured. It's just like the lowest common denominator, like obvious, like analysis.
It isn't specifically true, though it is true that he hasn't been healthy in the playoffs. And
that is true. But I think like casual fan going like, he's going to get injured, too injured. Like you just don't, it's just not a thoughtful way to approach thinking about sports in this game. Going like, Wembanyama is going to be injured. Chad, he's going to be injured all the time. Too skinny. Zion, too fat. Too big. It's like, just because it happens doesn't mean it like should continue to happen.
Well, sure it does. The best predictor of future performance is past performance.
But I think Zion is the reason Zion hasn't worked out as well as I thought he was, even though like when he's healthy, he's one of the best players in the league, is because he hasn't like taken care of his body. Not like a person with that body shape simply cannot succeed in an NBA court. I think like Wembanyama is an example of someone who has taken his body seriously for years and is approaching, and the Spurs are approaching like his long-term health because he has a unique body. It's just easy to say like this person's unique body, I'm writing them off.
Well, but I don't think that's what people say. Sure. I agree with that. I do think being injury prone is a thing. And I think the difference here is that Embiid's early part of his career, for somebody who does not follow the Sixers every year, which I understand, like we're burrowed in it, what happened early in his career, and then just the at least then past early in his career, I feel like he's been no different from an injury standpoint than a lot of other players.
Yeah.
But because of what he had earlier in his career, it sticks to him harder. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got this. We got this email. This came from Brett. Hey, Spike, Mike, and CJ. My basketball question is how responsible is... Oh, no, no. Here we go. He wanted to talk about this photo. Could you put up the photo, CJ? Wanted to check the Jaden Springer Turk asset appreciation when I found this quick clip of Giannis noticing B-ball Paul and greeting him at the Rico Hines runs. So here is the photo of B-ball and... his future self, Giannis, though less injury prone, you know, B-ball, obviously. My question is, how responsible is the Ricky for B-ball's rise in popularity? Has his quirkiness been amplified by us sickos, or was it fate he became this well-known simply due to his nickname? Would love your thoughts. I do think B-ball's popularity has been increased by us and the Ricky community for sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think we were the ones to start calling him B-ball Paul, which was his Twitter name, but not like
his nickname.
His nickname, yeah.
Yeah. His name is basketball. Non-basketball question. If Mike and Spike had to compete on a game show, Survivor, Amazing Race, etc., which one do each of you think?
That's not a game show.
Well, so here we go. I don't think it's a reality show. I think that's a game show.
It can be like, you can say it's like a competition show, but it's sure. Not a game.
It's not a game show like Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Which one do each of you think you would have the most success at? I don't watch any of these. I would be the most successful at Big Brother, I think, if that's still a show.
It is.
Because I think my history or my experience in managing people would make it more easy for me to manipulate people, and it doesn't really involve physical things as my body would break down in these other shows. You?
Survivor.
Really?
No, but I'm saying it because I finished in last. So now I'm saying Survivor. Determination. Survivor.
Mike, you a college football fella?
No.
Me neither. I wish I liked college football because it seems so fun. And college football does start today. And college football, I went to USC and Syracuse. Now, when I was at Syracuse, college football was sort of a big deal. USC, it was a downtime when I was there. Though Keyshawn Johnson and Tony Boselli were the team. But I do wish that I attended a college that was more football forward because I think it would have been fun. It is college football season, and DraftKings Sportsbook is the only place that you should be betting college football. Right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. At this point, if I knew anything about college football, I would give a pick or something. I have no idea. I know that Alabama is always good and Georgia is good this year, but I only know that from listening to CBS Sports Radio where I work. I don't know anything. Do you know anything about college football?
I would say I enjoy people that like college football on a very high level and make fun of the coaches and the environments.
Yes.
But I know absolutely nothing about any of the players or systems.
Kick off the college season with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code RTRS. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code RTRS. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. See show notes for details. One thing I've learned from where I work is like where college football is not that big a deal in Philly or New York or even like LA to an extent, like the coast or whatever, most of the country just fucking loves college football, like in between. And I've never gotten into it ever. So mostly what we will do today is mailbag and voicemails. We've gotten so many of these. I think it's good time for us to catch up. And Mike, I feel like we will do a segment on the island controversy. Would you like to do it now or later? Because we do have emails, we do have voicemails. There's some CJ stuff in there. Your thoughts?
Let's see if there's any voicemails to talk about the team. Let's give people a little bit talking about the Philadelphia 76ers that the podcast is about.
And that people are begging us to not talk about. Okay, here we go.
Gotta take their medicine.
All right. 833 Lickface is the number.
Obviously, we're not allowed to look at the roster. Don't even think about it. I hear some of you thinking about it. Don't you even let it marinate for a second that we have a roster and that there are people on. Don't look at it. But question, is Nick Nurse allowed to look at the roster? Because his whole thing is, you know, his brain. And I would like the gears to start turning and churning now on the roster so we can get all creative and try things as elaborate as playing b-ball at the four, for example. So can Nick Nurse look at the roster yet so he can start thinking of things? Non-basketball related question, a little bit of mayo on a sandwich, that's it? That's your sandwich? That's disgusting. I don't know who that person is. Get him back on. I'm worried for his health.
That was in regard to an older voicemail. You know, just in the, obviously he was kidding, but in the broader question of that, it must be maddening for Nick Nurse at this point to think about what the season will be like with such a vague idea of what the entire roster will look like, especially considering that the Harden trade, if and when it happens, could result in a number of different players on the roster for him to deal with. And I wonder how much you can do knowing mostly only two specific players, or maybe, Maxey, Embiid, you assume will be on the roster. Paul Reed has to be on the roster. But beyond that, it just must be weird to take the next step in your coaching career, have it be here, and have such, you know, we're 6 weeks away from camp or whatever, and have such a vague idea of what your roster will look like.
Yeah. Tough to, I mean, this is the job. Like, this is what it's like when you're an NBA coach. It can all change. You're, you know, Brett Brown coaching the guy, you know, shake your hand, put him in the game type thing. But I, you know, for as upset as we are, and feel the fact that like Daryl came here and Nick came here, obviously they're getting paid to do it. This isn't an internship for them, but like it has to be better than it feels like it is. It has to
internally. You're saying it has to be better for, like, they have to feel better than we feel. Is that what you're saying?
Okay. I think that. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Nick is priority number one is considering, you know, I'm sure this was part of the interview process and everything. And I hope he came into the interview with a big, big red button that just said B-ball at the four. And he just started pressing it over and over again, mashing that button. But the biggest thing is just like finding ways to help Embiid in the playoffs. Like that's all of it. It feels borderline, you know, overwhelming to consider that there's a whole goddamn regular season that we have to
sit through.
And I'm sure there'll be things I can take from it and, you know, get excited about things that they're trying and everything, but like nothing is going to matter until it's Joel in the playoffs. Nothing. It doesn't matter if Harden's here or not here. Nothing is going to matter until it's Joel in the playoffs. And that's Nick's only job. Like is just making it. He finished fucking runner up for MVP 2 years in a row and then won MVP. Like he's got to be not bad in the playoffs. And it's not like every year he's been bad, but like he's got to be as dominant in the playoffs as he was in the regular season. And so it's like every waking moment of Nick Nurse's maniacal life has to be thinking about how to unlock that and make that happen for Joel and for us. So regardless, I mean, Harden's a big thing, but like, you know, regardless of whether they have Covington and Nick Batum or something or PJ Tucker, that doesn't make that much of a difference at this stage.
The Harden thing is big, though.
The Harden thing is obviously big, but yeah. I think it's Joel 1 through 1,000. And then, you know, Maxey talked about it on his podcast about how, like, we've been down. I think he said, like, it's not our first rodeo. Yeah. About Harden.
In regard to the Harden thing, yeah.
Which I think is pretty funny for a guy who's like, what, is he 22?
He's been through a lot, yeah.
That's pretty funny and upsetting for him. But he said he noted his adaptability of, you know, growing up, playing on ball, off ball, Kentucky, he played a lot of off ball. Like, he can do all of it. It obviously changes his role, and obviously he needs to get better at playmaking for others. But I find it interesting that they still want Harden. They still so vocally want Harden back.
Well, he is a much better playmaker than Maxey is.
Oh, of course. I meant to say.
Oh, right.
But the players so vocally want Harden back.
Well, I think they like him.
I do like him, but it's hard to square the fact that they like him with how much he no-showed in game 6 and 7 and the report that you've been talking about of like the players knew he didn't have it.
Yeah, a specific player who would know him well, I would say. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I agree with you.
And it's like, I don't know. Maybe that player doesn't want him back. I don't know. Or probably not.
I don't think that player cares that much.
That's probably right.
Yeah, honest with you.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a fucking job, man. And maybe a lot of these people want to win and it's nice for them to win, but they like, they know it's easier in a lot of ways if Harden's just there and he's their friend.
Well, I agree. I don't honestly see anything wrong with that.
There's a little bit wrong with that. Well, which is like he fucking no-showed in the play in like the last couple games of the season. He had a couple good playoff games, obviously, but the reasons that if I was a player on the fucking Sixers, I'd be like, this guy fucking doesn't have it.
Yeah.
We're not going to win with them. The reason is that if they care as much about winning a championship as fucking I do, and not about having like a, you know, positive workplace, fun stuff, Harden, just good vibes for them. Maybe he buys them, you know, he gets them a ton of burgers or, you know, wine and Rolexes or whatever the fuck. Maybe he's just like a good hang in that sense. People say he's a good friend. That's great. But like, if championship was their first through a hundredth priority, then they would be like, let's trade him for somebody that's not him.
Yeah. Though to your point about it being a job, it is a job. And I think I'm not asking you to make this choice for sure, but I think it's fair to wonder whether if your job were your job, let's say, you know, you're writing a comedy television show and on your site, but let's say you weren't on strike. Let's say the strike was ended and you're writing a comedy television show that you thought was good. Would it be more important to you to have a work environment with people that you liked and the show be moderately successful, or potentially work with people that you don't like as much and have a better chance at the show being really successful? Now, the difference there is that if the show is really successful, then the show has a better chance of continuing and you have a better chance of keeping a job. So there's like a difference in that. But I think
there's these kinds of conversations all the time that happen among writers and actors. Happens all the time. Where it's like you can get three things. You can get two of three things. One of them is a good show that you like.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is people, a good writing staff that you like to be around, that you find to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is good hours, because some shows have famously horrendous hours and make you stay late all the time. You can get two of those things usually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't get all three. So I think that, you know, if I'm D'Anthony Melton or Jaden Springer or something, that's like being a writer on staff of someone else's show.
Right.
Like if it's my show, I have more control over to set the tone, to make it a positive workplace environment, rather than being like, I'm just sort of a cog in this machine as a writer on staff. And I can be like, do I want to be on the show where I'm like helpful to a really good show? Or do I want to be like, those people are fun and nice. Is it worth it being with this fucking asshole to say I've been on a good show? Because there's a lot of those. There's a ton of those shows run by assholes and populated by assholes. And I think I think absolutely when it's your job, you take the positive environment.
So I
get it.
But yeah, yeah. I'm
more of a Sixers fan than anyone is a fan of my career. So they don't have people going like, no, Mike, take their better show.
Well, I don't know. You could talk about, you know, a lot of our listeners, I think, are big Mike career fans on some level. And as the Sixers make life more difficult, they will begin to cheer for your career more than they cheer for the Sixers. So
that's huge.
Yeah, you should be happy about that.
Starts doing a podcast about my career.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What are we doing there on Wednesday? The Rights to Ricky Sanchez is brought to you by Big Barker Dog Beds. By the way, speaking of dogs, the Bark in the Park team, I usually have announced that and had a t-shirt and blah, 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 blah. Our good friend at Providence Animal Center, Justina Colgiano, is no longer there. So I've had a delayed start on Bark in the Park, but there will be a Bark in the Park team. And we are working, I'm working with Tanner on an excellent t-shirt. So we will raise money for Providence Animal Center. Rebel will be on the t-shirt, and Rebel sleeps on a Big Barker dog bed. Because I love Rebel. Now, on some level, it's because Big Barker is a sponsor of the pod, but also because I love Rebel. The Big Barker dog bed is different than other dog beds, and it is superior because it keeps your dog healthier. That's it. I mean, it costs more for sure, but it's better made. It's the only one engineered by experts to keep your dog healthier. Go to bigbarker.com/Ricky. bigbarker.com/Ricky. If you go to that link, you get the free process pup patches to make your dog official. And when you're there, you can see the difference. I swear you do not have to feel it in person to see the difference. You ask, how can a bed keep a dog healthier? Well, I ask you, aren't you healthier? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel more healthy if you're sleeping on a proper mattress as opposed to a shitty mattress? It's one of the things when I get a hotel or Airbnb somewhere, I'm always worried because I have a bad back. It's like, if I have a shitty mattress, I'm going to feel shitty in the morning. And that's the same thing with a dog. The longer a dog sleeps on a bad mattress, the better chance this dog will develop joint issues. As the dog gets older, that becomes more of an issue. And the Big Barker dog bed prevents that. There's a study at PenVent that shows it prevents it. Up to 80% of dogs over 50 pounds develop arthritis as they age. The Big Barker dog bed, available for any size dog, Barker Jr., all the way up to the really, really big one. Looks great, different colors, different styles, and most importantly, keeps your dog healthy and happy. There is a 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog doesn't like it, fine. I would be surprised, but fine. They'll give you a full refund and pay for the shipping. Handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. I thought this was an interesting question. Came into writestrickysanchez@gmail.com. This comes from Pedro. I would like to leave you with a question, which means there was a long email before this. Which player was or is more valuable at the moment they demanded a trade from the Sixers, Ben Simmons or James Harden today? Not a Sixers fan, but someone who enjoys the podcast.
Yeah, I think it's Simmons.
Simmons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is too, which is crazy to think about. And also should be a reality check for James Harden on some level.
I think a lot of that is not who's a better player at that point. I think the answer is Harden.
Yep.
But I think Simmons was younger. Simmons had more years on his contract. Simmons could be, you know, explained away. You can convince yourself that the Hawks series and the playoff stuff is fixable and him and Joel was just the problem. And
yada,
like all this other stuff. But yeah, obviously that didn't work out for anybody trying to acquire him. But right now, Harden's just like, he's pretty old. He's on an expiring contract. He very clearly wants to be traded to a team that he wants to re-sign to. So he's being extremely particular about which team he is accepting a trade to. So it's just, there's not, you know, if he opened it up, which I'm still waiting on, would love for that list. Would love
at least
a
lie,
bigger
buddy.
List.
You should lie. It will help you if
would
you lie.
Have, would love a lie.
Yep. Even though
if you open the list a little bit, then you can start to convince yourself like, oh, okay, like this is, you know, people can start to bid for it or something like that. But for one team, like, there's just no reason for someone to trade as much as they could. So I just, unless he releases the list and starts taking it seriously, then this is going to go into the season for sure.
833 Lickface is the number.
Weekly Becky here. I haven't done any reporting in a while, but I have some. I have an anonymous source who has informed me that Trevlin Queen was offered a contract with the Sixers, but signed with Orlando instead because of, quote, all the Harden drama. And that, quote, all these dudes are getting offers from the Sixers and not taking them because of the, quote, Harden drama. This is real, but I thought it would just be fun to play the song. If you want to know my anonymous source, I'll tell you offline.
Now, this is the first report we've had from Becky.
I love it.
I'm not saying it's not true. I don't have any information. Obviously, Daryl, if you're listening, which I know that you do, the rest
tremendous.
Of the fucking Sixers organization who listens, you can refute this. But Becky, look, my sense is this, though I do not know Becky personally, she doesn't seem like a liar to me.
No. Sourcey Becky.
Yeah. So do you believe Weekly Becky's report that Trevlin Queen did not sign with the Sixers, even though he was offered a contract here because of, quote, all of the Harden stuff?
Yeah, it's very funny to imagine like the 15th person on the roster being like, too dramatic over there. But, you know, he was here, didn't make the roster, probably should have made the roster. Orlando really is the soft landing for all Sixers.
Yep. It
really, all roads lead to Orlando for me. And I'm excited about the Magic this year, my Magic.
Yeah, it is, man. I don't want it to be true, obviously, because it means worse things if it's true, though it is hilarious if it's true, I would say.
To me, it's like, maybe they think, you know, maybe their agents are saying, hey, they're going to eventually trade Harden for multiple pieces.
You're not going to get.
Then they're not going to have the roster space for you. That makes sense on like a very practical level.
Sure.
But if it's the Harden drama in the sense of, just, you know, life's too short, you know, when you're the 15th man on the roster getting offers.
Let me introduce a controversy. How do I say this? How do I identify this person without identifying them? There is a member, I would say not a member of our staff, but a member of the Ricky universe, a member of the Ricky universe that would be known to a regular listener of the Ricky as somebody that we have mentioned many times, who I believe has a problem with Weekly Becky's call-ins. And every time we air a Weekly Becky call-in, this person tells me not to air them anymore. There's a member of the I would say the Ricky universe that is anti-Weekly Becky. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, with all of Becky's sources, I think she's going to find out who that is and come down on them pretty hard.
Yep. 833 Lickface is the number.
Spike, Mike, DJ, Harold, Max here again. I was just listening to the pod in Washington Square Park, and I was about to go into LL Pivorsky Jewelers to bitch and complain about the Sixers for 20 minutes to LL, but I'm calling you guys instead. I want to ask where you think the new stadium being built is fitting in with this whole rebuild, retooling with Embiid and whatnot. I think it plays a much larger role than we think. Josh Harris isn't going to want to have the Sixers be mediocre for the next, let's just call it 10 years, as they're trying to get the rights to build the stadium and do all that. I think he needs a competitive team. I think he needs a team that's profitable. So I don't understand if trading Embiid is going to happen. I don't think it's going to work, but I think they do need to remain competitive for Josh Harris's sake. So I just want to know your thoughts.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I would say, because this new stadium wouldn't open until what, 2031?
Yeah, but it would be, I mean, the next 2 years are key. you know, okay, getting through the mayoral election and getting all of the go-aheads, I would say.
Because that the reasoning, no, just sorry, the reasoning is, yeah, like,
no, go ahead.
It, not knowing about the 2 years, obviously I'm Mr. Business. Mm-hmm. If you know, Steve Ballmer is opening up a stadium for the Clippers, mm-hmm, here in LA. So like that, they want that stadium to be filled and important and for a good Clippers team. That's why they wouldn't consider rebuilding in any way, you know?
Right, right, right.
So that's now, like the stadium's going to open in the next couple of years. If the Sixers were like hell-bent on 2031, got to be good, there's much more likelihood that they're good. If that was like priority number one, there's a much higher likelihood that they'll be good in 2031 if they rebuild now than if they did it in 5-6 years when Embiid is, you know, out of his prime.
So I think it is, I actually think it's more related than you do, but also let's say the new arena was not even a consideration.
Yeah.
I don't think the Sixers would trade Embiid and
exactly.
Rebuild,
right? That's why.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
It's primarily the fact that Embiid's an MVP candidate. Daryl knows how hard it is to get those guys, you know, and whether or not there was a new stadium, I think Josh Harris would want to be, you know, shaking the knuckles of a winning team and now, being there and all that stuff.
I do think the chaos around the Sixers is obviously, and by the way, like what's going on now is never desirable for an organization at any time. Never.
You could have said that every offseason, every yes, moment for so many years. What's going on now is never desirable.
I would say that my sense is there is nothing in existence more important to the organization than getting the arena built right now. I don't think there is anything more important than that. Nothing. So whatever helps them get that done, I think they will do. I don't think they'll have somebody killed, you know, but that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that my sense is that this is like white knuckle, teeth grinding obsession with getting the arena done. And I think it is incredibly important to them. It's for the valuation perspective for the which I know we're all very, very focused on, but
big valuation guy.
Yeah. Big valuation guys. But I think all in all, I think it is incredibly important to them, but I don't think it has any direct effect right now on the way that they are operating, given I think they would operate this way.
The same way.
The same.
If they really cared about it that much, they would pay me an exorbitant sum to lobby on the building's behalf.
They haven't paid either of us.
They haven't tried to pay me at all.
Not one bit.
I've been giving them free publicity for 10 years. Longer than that, I've been writing about them.
Think of all the people that would have said, fuck this team and not been invested.
I don't think people would have heard about the Sixers if it weren't for us.
They wouldn't even know. Gone. It's
brand awareness.
Yep.
Not a dime.
Can't get a check. Can't get a...
Cut me a $7 million check and let's be done with it already.
833-LICKFACE is the number.
Hey, Spike, Mike, this is Rob. I know we've dealt with some bullshit in past off seasons, but this Harden situation has infuriated me like no other. The guy starts the summer sweatier than a priest at a Chuck E. Cheese at this Travis Scott concert, and then flies out to China where he gives this emboldened war cry to a group of Chinese children. What was that all about? Is he trying to go full Joseph Kony and recruit an army of children to then storm the Sixers front office and force them into giving him a max contract? And I have to tell you, if that were the case, I'm concerned that he's going to be stuck on this roster unless the front office gets Mike a direct flight to Philadelphia and he shows his superhuman strength and beats the shit out of these kids like a seen stepbrothers. So I don't know. I'm so done, guys. I can't fucking do this any longer. God damn it. All right. Bye.
Harden Mike, entering his Joseph Kony era sounds like a kill a cow joke. For sure.
So what do you think the odds that Harden on, by the way, happy birthday, James Harden, 34, is always the time when you are given the biggest contract.
Yeah.
After multiple playoff failures, we're happy for you and your birthday.
Did the Sixers tweet about it? I'm sorry.
They did. Yeah.
They did.
Yeah. Which by the way, like I get, you know, something I get is the welcome home videos for the players that are not that important. I understand why they do it, but the tweet is only just going to get people fucking pissed off.
But not tweeting also.
Yeah.
I bet there were a bunch of meetings about it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So stupid. I'm looking at the comments of the tweet right now.
Oh, I'm sure. They're people amazing.
Just like the person having to press send on the James Harden happy birthday tweet. Just like, yep. Okay.
They just press it there and run. It mute conversation. Mute conversation. Tweet, mute conversation. Yeah.
Oh, poor guy.
This comes from Spencer, writes to RickySanchez@gmail.com. Hi, Spike, Mike, Mr. President. I was listening to the most recent pod and was shocked to hear in the pro Elton sentiment caller, and even more surprised that you didn't totally shut it down given the Horford and Harris contracts.
Sure.
But I think we were completely fair in our Elton response, to be honest with you. Basketball question. Rank the following Sixers executive tenures.
Mm.
Tony DeLeo.
Last.
Sam Hinkie, Brian Colangelo,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Collaborative, and I assume that is like who do we say is Mr. like what group is that? Is that the era in between
Colangelo and Elton?
Colangelo and Elton, yeah. Elton and Daryl. I also wholeheartedly disagreed with the comment from the listener about enjoying your arguments. The arguments feel like my parents arguing, probably since I've been growing up listening to you two for the past 8 years. So my non-basketball question is this. How long would a real life marriage last between Spike and Mike? And what would the reason be for the eventual
defense? I don't think it would last very long.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think we're attracted to each other. I think a part of it.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
And we're already fighting.
Yep.
Yeah. But the rankings.
Yes. DeLeo Hinkie.
DeLeo is last.
Yeah, has to be.
A step up from DeLeo is Colangelo.
I think that is fair.
Step up from Colangelo.
Is Mr. Collaborative right above DeLeo or no?
No, because... There were some good things that happened then, weren't they?
Okay.
What was the gap?
It was a few months. It was honestly the Bridges trade.
Was it just the draft?
It was. Yeah, I don't think it was. Well, no, it was free agency because that was star hunting. That was the star hunting offseason where they flew to Los Angeles to meet with LeBron's agent's assistant.
Yeah, LeBron's kid was taking meetings at Malvern Prep.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah, maybe you go collaborative because of the Bridges trade. Then Elton, then Daryl, then Sam.
Sam number one.
Yeah, I mean he didn't have a chance to fuck it up.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it's very easy to. I've realized in history, it's very easy to explain away mistakes if you want to.
That's for sure true.
Yeah. So the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Body Bio. Use code Mike's Tummy for 20% off anything at bodybio.com. I want to read this text I got from Body Bio Mike making an offer. Mike, I want to know if you're willing. Mm-hmm. I believe you are aware of this offer. So Mike from Body Bio says Body Bio would sponsor a Mike versus Sixers Adam boxing match or AU. This obviously, in regard to them both finishing above you in the island vote. Mike, would you accept a charity fight between you and Sixers Adam or AU, and how would you handicap either of them?
I don't think I've never boxed and don't think I'm disciplined enough to box. It seems very hard. And not something I would be good at.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's some sort of like psycho freak shit fight, like tables, ladders, and chairs style.
Wow.
Really go for it, ECW.
An extreme wrestling match.
Yeah, something where it's just like, what are they doing? What's this guy doing? I would really, I love Sixers Adam. Yep. So I don't hate him enough to like tap into that side of myself that I think could rage pretty hard. And I don't love getting the idea of getting punched very hard, but if it's a sponsored fight and if the strike keeps going on longer, maybe I become a professional gimmick fighter.
Well, the quote that is often attributed to Mike Tyson is actually come from you. Everyone has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. What your
That's
message
me to Sixers Adam. Adam.
Body Bio, we love. Go to bodybio.com and just do me a favor. Give, you know, we talk about Gut Plus a lot and the code Mike's telling me about Gut Plus. I want you to give Elite a try. Elite is your solution for being properly hydrated. I had this problem. I got cramps in my feet and in my calves all the time. Sometimes I would get cramps in my abdomen, which are fucking terrible. And though I drink a decent amount of water, I wasn't properly hydrated because hydration is not just about water. It is also about electrolytes. What Elite is it gives you the electrolytes you need without any of the other junk. You see these sports drinks that promise you electrolytes, but they also come with artificial flavors. They come with artificial colors. They come with sugar. They come with sugar substitutes. They come with a lot of ingredients. The only thing in Elite is electrolytes. You take a cap full of it. You put it in water or whatever you're drinking in the morning, a little in the evening, and it got rid of all of my cramping problems. And when you become an experienced Elite consumer, you can mainline it, as we call it. Just drink it straight. It's a little salty, but it makes you feel kind of tough. Go to bodybio.com, try out Elite. It's not even expensive. And with the 20% off code, with code Mike's Tummy, you're going to get 20% off of it. I'm telling you, it's good for you. Give it a try. Bodybio.com, code Mike's Tummy for 20% off. This came from Robert.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Maybe we should do it. Maybe this is another episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I just keep looking at the names in the 2024 free agent class or like potential trade class.
Yep.
And maybe we should rank them.
We should do that. We should do that the next episode. There is somebody who wrote an email about that, in that you've been saying that the free agent class is not that good, but it is potentially better, I think, than you've given it credit for. There's just some shoes to fall or shoes to drop or whatever to see how good it'll be. So why don't we, that way I can think about it.
Great.
We do that next episode.
There's an article in The Athletic that really went into, I think Danny LaRue wrote it. I will get it to you.
This comes from Robert. Hi, Spike, CJ, Harold, and Mike. Listening to the recent pod, and I'm shocked that Mike is surprised that community voted him last to survive. I believe myself and other voters that he could survive if he wanted to. However, he would ultimately just give up and go out on his own terms on day three. Mike has shown to barely have a will to live with the Sixers, and I don't think that will increase on an island. He's capable, but out of everyone, he is the most likely to not try and accept the freedom of death.
Valid?
Yeah.
Valid. I'm not built for it. I'm built for death.
Yeah.
I have a dead dog in my gut.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yep. Wait, now, maybe. Now,
90 months is a long time.
Now, we do have one call on this, but then a very, very, very important CJ call. Like, maybe the most important call we've ever gotten. But first this, 833-LICKFACE.
Mike, settle down, my guy, okay? Just because you got the percentage of votes is the least amount of first place votes. That doesn't mean you got last place. I was between you and CJ. You're taking this too harsh, my boy. I think you got the qualifications. It's just, you're not an edgy pick. You're not a fun pick. That's why the people didn't go with you. It's. I guess you could argue the same for CJ, but we're not going to pick the main character. Come on. Chill out.
Sounds like
I guess we needed a ranked choice voting system.
Mm.
But then I should be picked over you then.
For sure. Because I'm not an edgy pick either.
No.
Yeah. And I am a main character, much to the dismay of many of our listeners. Yes, I am a main character. So, yeah.
Yes, I am a main character.
Yeah.
Is a funny thing to say.
Well, I am a main character on this. On this podcast, at least, I'm a main character.
Yeah.
So here is the important CJ call. Hold on, let me find it. I keep, every time I bring this up, CJ shakes his head. CJ, I think we need your visual.
I'm adding him.
Okay. There we go. 833 Lickface. CJ, I do want you to let the voicemail conclude. Let it go the entire time.
Hello, Spike, Mike, and Siege, multiple-time caller, long-time listener, and one of CJ's hiking buddies here to set the record straight on the recent Sixers Adam poll in which he was voted most likely to survive on a deserted island or whatever the wording of that poll was. You guys are giving him entirely too much credit for going on a few hiking trips with his buddies. I mean, out of the four of us, CJ is by far the worst survivalist. Two of them are Eagle Scouts, and I myself, I'm not an Eagle Scout, but still a much better survivalist than CJ. I think you could drop him on the island with a fire starter and he wouldn't be able to start a fire. And mentally, I just don't think he's built for it. I mean, CJ doesn't like eating with his hands because he thinks it's dirty. So I think the mental toll of being outside of the luxuries of modern civilization would be rough on him. I love him, but he's not built like that. Personally, I probably would have voted for Zoe. Don't have a great reason for that. Just felt feels right. And I wouldn't have put Mike last. Mike, I'm with you. Ridiculous. Coven rigged the poll for CJ. But yeah, that's all. He's not Bear Grylls just because he's hiked a few times. Don't let him ride the coattails of his three friends who plan all his trips for him.
Wow.
That's all. Thanks, guys.
I love it.
Now, there's a lot of info in there. The one that I like best is the discovery that CJ does not like eating with his hands because he thinks that it's dirty. CJ, your response to this call of your friend just obliterating you.
Yeah, all right. These guys, I don't suck on my fingers after I like eat a plate of wings. And I don't think that's the craziest thing to admit. I'd rather wash my hands than suck on my fingers. Yeah, I mean, a lot of that's true. The group that I go with, there's two Eagle Scouts. But also, I've gotten a lot more into like long distance running, which might be able to help with being able to like outlast competition. Also, we need to like reel back that none of us are surviving more than like 5 days with just a hammer and the clothes on our back. Like we need a lot
but
more.
That's tools. Not the question, CJ. The question is who is most likely to survive?
CJ opts out.
Yeah.
Also, says he couldn't survive 90 months.
There's so much coping going on with this, with everybody.
Also, I was voted in this spot. I did not like campaign under it and rally everyone to put me at number one.
He drops out of the race.
Wow.
He's taking himself out.
I'm still in and the vote stands for itself, but and I still think it might be accurate.
So. Now, speaking of which, you should stay here. We got an email from James, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com.
Group is crumbling.
Yeah. Just listen. One of them is going to get killed on the next hike. I can feel it. Wow. This comes from James, writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. Just listen to the most recent pod. I feel like not enough time was spent on this. CJ thought the intermission was a break in between set and encore. It was revealed there were 12 songs, intermission, then 12 songs, and then a 4-song encore, which means he thought the encore was 16 songs. CJ,
that's your logic. That's not what happened. I was working under the assumption that the show was going to end at 11 because I had this like rule in my head that like, oh, the workers of the show, that's like their hard out 11. So I heard this thing that like any minute after 11, you need to like pay a fine as an artist if you're doing a show after that time. And when they went on for intermission, it was around like 10:30 or something. And they started at 9 and they had an opener. So I was like, okay, like this is probably them wrapping up. And I knew that there was a lot of songs they hadn't played yet, but I just thought that they had like dropped it from their set list. I also don't look at the set list before going to a show. That probably would have changed a lot of things if I'd looked at it, but I like to be surprised.
Yeah, but
how is CJ going to survive on a desert island?
He doesn't even know what
he can't even stay
is.
Up past 11 p.m.
I'll get my sleep.
Too sleepy to survive.
When the bears are coming out to like look through all your shit and you're pissing yourself at like 2 in the morning, I'll be
fast
snug
asleep.
As a bug.
Yeah, well, but CJ, I think it's a fair response by you, but you had time to consume this and then brought it up on the podcast that you thought it was the break in between So you,
well, we did the pod the morning after the show.
Yeah.
And I was mountain time. So it was an earlier pod for me.
I can't take all the excuses from you.
Also, relating the survivalist question, we had camped the night before. So I had been up since like 5 that day. So I was tired.
I also have friends who are Eagle Scouts. Just to say.
So you think
I'm not one, but I also have friends that are Eagle Scouts.
You think by that you deserve more votes because of your...
Maybe as equipped as you are. Mm. Friends of Eagle Scouts.
One of those friends also has a very bad back now as well. So
wow.
I'm absolutely outlasting him. So I don't want this picture to be painted that I'm like the lowest tier in the group.
Any other personal info you want to reveal about any of these people to make sure that everyone knows that you would survive longer than them?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. All right. Writes RickySanchez@gmail.com. This comes from Dan. Hello, Daryl, CJ, Mike, and Spike. This is Dan from New Mexico. First time, long time. I have a basketball question related about load management. With Shohei Ohtani's recent injury and the upcoming Tommy John surgery, it got me thinking about player load management and debates that surround the issue. The NBA and MLB both want to keep as many games scheduled as possible to maximize revenue through TV ads, ticket sales, parking, and concessions. But at the same time, players playing fewer games puts less stress on their bodies and maybe results in fewer injuries. What if, instead of reducing the total number of games in a season, each league set a cap of how many games a player can play within a single season, and then it would be up to the player and the team to determine when and where they use each player's games in the season. In this scenario, the NBA and the MLB still gets their full slate of games, while players have a more reasonable workload and recovery time. Not a bad idea, I guess. It never happened. And it also puts at a disadvantage the players who do play every game.
Yeah,
and
also, I don't think players would want this.
No.
Or fans or teams.
And I also think the other thing to remember is that, you know, the Spurs were really first in doing this. And part of it was to have a competitive advantage. You know, like the Spurs not playing anybody more than 30 minutes or resting players. But if everybody's doing it, then the competitive advantage becomes to play even fewer games, I guess. I don't know.
You could go the other way and say the competitive advantage is having so much chemistry because you've built up so much
because you've played a lot
court time playing together.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one of the reasons, not obviously the reason, that the Nuggets won the championship, because they've logged a lot of games together, all those guys.
Non-basketball question. Were you ever picked last in middle school gym class?
No.
I blocked out a lot of that. So I didn't have gym class in 8th grade because Episcopal does not have PE. I'm trying to remember 6th and 7th grade. I was fat at the time. It's certainly possible. I mean, I couldn't run a mile. I couldn't do a pull-up. You know, all that kind of shit that embarrasses you in those years. I think it's certainly possible, but I've blocked out a lot of that. So CJ, ever pick last? I doubt it, because you're obviously so equipped physically. not even answering. Final voicemail. 833 Lickface.
Yo, Spike and Mike, Matt from Manhattan. Just have to go back to Spike not knowing who Gollum/Smeagol is, falling into Mount Doom at the end of the Lord of the Rings book, The Return of the King. Spike, have you never seen or read The Lord of the Rings? That seems surprising to me. Basketball question is Furkan back. Have you guys seen the Turkey highlights from the FIBA World Cup?
I have never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen Harry Potter. I do not like all of that. I didn't watch Game of Thrones. I'm sorry. I'm an adult who does not live in the basement of my parents, and I do not like all that weirdo fantasy loser stuff.
Reference the basement. We're on a podcast right now talking about the Sixers.
Yeah. Look at this. I'm on the second floor. Look, like, yeah, that's, I'm on the second floor. I'm not a loser. I don't like that fantasy stuff.
You cannot like it. I'm not, this is not,
yo, Spike and Mike, Matt from Manhattan.
Sorry, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
Why is that different than like horror? Or a lot of the horror stuff. A lot of that is also fantasy. It's just a different kind. I'm not saying it's wrong to just, I like fantasy and sci-fi stuff. But well, I don't like her, but it's
sure.
I feel like those are not so dissimilar.
So I think that horror taps into something. I guess it depends on the kind of horror that we're talking about, because most horror taps into things that people think are real and fear. And so it touches, like, the thing that I like about horror is the thing that, first of all, I like bleak things anyway, but it taps into the same thing that a roller coaster taps into, which is the fear that it may, like, something may go wrong. The thing that is on some level exciting about a roller coaster is that you're like cheating death on some level. So when I'm watching when I get scared of something, it is because I feel like it could actually happen. Whereas Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter does not seem like that to me. It seems like things that people wish were possible. I actually don't begrudge anybody for liking that stuff. I just don't enjoy it at all. I'm just being hyperbolic in that and making fun of people. But I do think they tap into different emotions.
Certainly the fear stuff. But in all of those properties that you mentioned, like, there's obviously a human level of, like, concern for the character, and the same in, like, the world building is part of the what entices you, but it's not like everything is just like, magical things being levitated and everyone's going like, "Ooh," that's not like all of it. It's still like, character stories and stuff, in the same way that I'm sure horror is. It just doesn't have the scare factor. That is the reason why I don't like horror movies, is because I don't want to be scared and baited into having nightmares.
Honestly, it speaks to our personalities and our outlooks on the team generally, in that I fear the worst and you hope for the best. And those are different things. What was the last part of his question? I feel like he asked something interesting. CJ, do you remember?
Korkmaz.
Oh, Korkmaz. Look, everybody was talking about that video. It looked like he just hit three threes.
It wasn't that many. Yeah. The most impressive display I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And here's him hitting a shot.
Yeah.
I love Korkmaz. And I would be so happy if Korkmaz became a cog on this team.
Yeah,
Nick Nurse was like, "I love Korkmaz, he's going to play, 22 minutes a night." Yeah. That'd be great. And let's say it, if Harden's not there, Korkmaz might be the best passer on the team. So consider it.
Christ.
Marinate on it. Point guard, like, let Maxi play off Korkmaz. Korkmaz running pick and roll. I'm talking myself into it. This is the point of the offseason where I start talking myself into it. Korkmaz backup point guard. Korkmaz, eighth man on this team.
We did at one point, and I think the peak was probably the shot against Portland in the fourth game of the year.
Oh yeah.
When we were like, he's an NBA, like, he's a real NBA player. And I
he
do
is a real
wonder
NBA player.
Well, I do wonder, but not if he can't shoot.
He can shoot. He just has to shoot so well in the position that they put him in. And he never quite shot that well consistently enough.
I do wonder how much he did have an injury, like a nerve injury or something at some point. And I do wonder how much that affected it, because I still think he's a good shooter, a real good shooter. Is a high release, a quick release, is confident, is not really affected by pressure. Mm-hmm. All of those things, they just don't go in. It doesn't seem like anymore, which is the tough.
If Harden's out and they don't replace him with anybody else, I'm looking at the roster, which I know I'm not allowed to, but that means there's fewer bad defensive players on this team. And I could see Korkmaz in there. I could see Korkmaz beating like Daniel House out for a spot.
Sure.
I could see that happening. So
Korkmaz, who didn't, or Daniel House, who literally didn't play last year for most of the year, didn't have a spot.
Somebody's got to play.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a bad point. All right. Well, on the next episode, we already have it laid out, is we rank the possible available players in the 2024 offseason, which we've already skipped to.
It's a cap space podcast for sure.
Really, just that the sad, sad, sad position we're all in. So CJ's a fraud. Mike fans are coping with his poor vote. It's just that we're in a James Harden's birthday. We're all in a shambles. That's really right. Bad spot for all of us. All right, we'll talk to you next time. Are you down with TTP?
Yeah, you know, like this.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.